All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show, you know, from a blanket fort recording studio in a one-bedroom apartment in smoke-riddled, fire-riddled North Hollywood, California, just wildfire central, broadcasting to you live from just the heart of the beast. Boy, 2025 is here. And is it ever off to a rollicking start? Yeah, if you are paying attention to the news right now, you might be watching this on YouTube a few days after I'm recording this, but I am recording this on Thursday, January 9th, 6 p.m. I have changed locations three different times in the last 48 hours, and every time I change locations, another fire crops up and I have to move again. I've lived here for 6 years. I've lived in Los Angeles for 6 years, and I haven't experienced anything like this yet. It is as bad as it looks on the news, and it's kind of terrifying and harrowing in a really weird way. I've been thinking about trying to describe the emotional experience of it, and it's really interesting. I mean, I feel like I'm in a war zone, in the sense that these massive kind of deadly explosions keep erupting in different areas, and we have no idea how to know when the next one will come or where it will come from. And it's really hard to relax. It's really hard to just sort of be and try to like just be patient and all of us are keeping an eye on our phones and keeping an eye on updates and things like that. You know, last night I was keeping an eye on everything, and there was a fire on the other side of the hill from me. I live in Studio City in North Hollywood, and on the other side of the hill, the Sunset Fire broke out in the Hollywood Hills. And we have these apps that track it, and it was telling us like it's being contained to that side. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to keep an eye on that one. And then the other one that's on the other side of me is the Eaton fire. So I'm sort of in this valley in between these two fires. And then when the Studio City Sunswept fire broke out around 9:30 or 10 p.m., I thought, okay, that's it. All right, we got to go. And I went up to Agora. I've got some friends that live up there, and they allowed me to come up and spend the night with them. And Agora had clearer air, and it was further away from things. Well, we wake up this morning. There's no power up there, but at least it was away from the fires. We woke up, went to a cafe to charge our phones and stuff like that. And around 11 a.m., the Kenneth fire breaks out in Agora, and it starts kind of doing this pincer where it's like pressing down on the 101. The Palisades fire is spreading up from the coast into the 101, and the Kenneth fire is coming down. And so we had to get back down to the valley where I live. And in the valley, the Sunswept fire had been put out the night before, and the Sunset fire is mostly contained. But I mean, it just feels insane what I'm even saying, the amount of fires that I'm talking about. The Eaton fire, the Hearst fire, the Palisades fire, the worst of them, the now Kenneth fire, the Sunset, the Sunswept. It's kind of overwhelming. In the last 48 hours, I've slept probably 6 total hours. It's really hard for me right now to get good sleep. I'm incredibly tired. I'm very exhausted, and I can't fall asleep because falling asleep means potentially missing an evac notice, even though it would be really hard to notice to miss. Your phone goes off really, really loudly, and it, you know, I definitely would wake up, but it's like I keep waking up every 30 minutes or so when I'm trying to sleep. I don't know. It's almost like I've got my live studio, my live digital studio audience here on TikTok, and it's almost like TikTok is suppressing this live. I don't know why they wouldn't want information about what's going on here in Los Angeles to get out, but the numbers keep going up. There keep being people who join the live, and then the number of the people in the audience doesn't change. I don't know. It's really interesting. I don't know what's going on over here, but we got about 70 people in our live digital studio audience, so hello to all of you. And, you know, trying to stay safe over here. The air is obviously not great, but it's a really weird feeling. You're just sort of on edge, and everyone in this city is sort of on edge. And I feel like I've got my car's packed at this point. It's got all of the stuff that I need. If I need to go, I can go quick. I've got my laptop. I'm in my office right now, and I've got my laptop and like a few tech things that I busted out to do this, but I can quickly throw those in a backpack and jump in my car and go if I need to. I've got friends down in San Diego who have got extra space in an Airbnb, and I've got some friends in Palm Springs that I could go down and stay with as well if need be. But it's just sort of like we're all just sort of waiting for the next news that says you gotta hit the road and you gotta go. And it's been like this for 48 hours. And it's just, I'm one of the lucky ones, you know? There have been so many people who have just lost everything. The Pacific Palisades is an entire community that just doesn't, it's just gone. It's just gone. I don't know how else to say it. And there's a lot of conspiracy theories going around about what could be happening, that the rate of these fires, the amount of fires is suspicious, that normally when obviously California is wildfire country, and especially Southern California, and it's in season for it mostly. But the amount of fires and the way that they just kept cropping up all over the place, there were obviously a lot of conspiracy theories coming out, but like, there's no secret to this, folks. In my opinion, there were hurricane level winds in January in Los Angeles in a drought. It was abnormal weather caused by climate change. This is just the natural result of what climate scientists have been telling us is going to happen to our planet for decades now. That things like this are going to continue to happen in increased frequency and increased intensity. It should not be shocking. It should not be like, oh my God, who could have seen it coming? Only everyone who studies this, everyone who has made it their life's mission to study the nature of weather and climate and the patterns of climate, they could have predicted it. And they did. And they did say that this was going to happen. And it is so crazy that we live in a world where science is politicized, not just climate science, but all kinds of science, where we need to constantly be afraid of fact-checking because half of the political apparatus and half of the political spectrum in the United States, at least, rejects science wholeheartedly, outright, has like an allergy to truth and to facts. Yeah, it's kind of crazy, you know? I don't think that we need to get into any conspiracy theories about this. There is no grand conspiracy theory. This is just man-made climate change at work. And the reason why it's one of the most severe firestorms in the history of Southern California is because that is what is going to continue to happen, is we are going to see unprecedented storms like this. It was a fire hurricane. Fire broke out in the Palisades, got out of control. I mean, Tuesday afternoon, it was 200 acres, and I remember thinking, whoa, that's big. It's now 20,000 acres, and that fire was big enough that embers from that fire with 100-mile-per-hour wind bursts for a whole 24-hour period were blown all around the San Fernando Valley, and so it created a mass amount of fires. And there's only so much manpower to fight these fires that are rapidly spreading. They've never had to contend with anything like this, with this many fires breaking out in this close succession to each other. And so naturally, it was just really hard to contain all of them. But yeah, I mean, like if you want to look at like the real conspiracy, the conspiracy is just the thing that's been happening in full view of the American public and of the global public since the dawn of the Industrial Revolution. It's just capitalism. It's just the usual suspects, just late stage capitalism and corporate greed, just corporations not being willing to help save the planet because it's not cost effective to do so, because it's better for their profit margins if they don't, which is just fucking insane. It's so... It is an illness. You know how everything conservatives say is projection, and like every accusation from a conservative is a confession. The way that they call like wokeness a mind virus, conservatism is a mind virus. Capitalism is a mind virus. Like greed is a mind virus. Like these people are infected. Like somebody pointed out, I saw this post on Threads that was like, it's so crazy that billionaires would prefer a future where they live in bunkers bunkers, like eating beans and living by candlelight because they're like trying to escape the world that they created and the uprising of the poors. They'd rather live in the bunkers than use their wealth and their power to just fix the world. Right now, where the fuck is Elon Musk? Where's Jeff Bezos? Where's Mark Zuckerberg? As LA burns. We see them out here with their hot takes on the internet about shit that no one cares about. We see Mark Zuckerberg out here with his announcement about how Meta is no longer fact-checking. By the way, that's great. That's another thing that we're starting the year off with. Meta has announced that they're no longer going to be fact-checking because fact-checking is bias. Fact-checking is the fact-checkers that were part of Meta's team apparently in California are biased. They have a liberal bias. I gotta say, Meta coming out and announcing that they will no longer be fact-checking is like Pigpen from Charlie Brown coming out and announcing that he will no longer be taking baths. It's like, yeah, we know, dude. Like, you are famously filthy. You walk around with a visible cloud of dirt everywhere you go. Your name is literally Pigpen. You're a dirty guy who doesn't bathe. You don't need to announce to us that you are no longer taking baths. You never have been taking baths. None of us believe that you have ever been invested in your personal hygiene. It's like Cookie Monster coming out and being like, I just want to make an announcement. I will no longer be eating non-cookie foods. From now on, I will only be eating cookies. And we're like, bro, you're Cookie Monster. We know. This isn't an announcement. You're not breaking the internet here. You're letting us know that you, Cookie Monster, will continue to eat cookies. This is like Nick Fuentes making an announcement that he will no longer be having sex with women. Like, we know that, Nick. We know that women won't sleep with you. And we know, like, apparently, you know, some of the rumors also that have gone around. Like, you don't need to announce it to us. Bud, like that's not an announcement. I've been on Facebook since 2008, 16 years. Facebook and Meta as a company are one of the largest distributors of misinformation in the world and have been the entire time that I've been a user of their products. Like, Facebook alone is one of the most prodigious and prolific progenerators of misinformation and just lies in the social media landscape. It's insane for Mark Zuckerberg to come out and be like, we're going to stop fact-checking. What? You're going to stop doing a thing you've never done? And also the fact that, like, people responded to it like, oh, no. It's like, what do you mean, oh, no? This is sort of like when people freak out about, like, you know, China collecting data through TikTok. Like, but they're getting your data. You realize how dangerous that is? That China's just got spy cameras in your room? It's like, do you know what timeline you live in? Do you know what current year you are alive in? Do you understand that you are on camera and being recorded for like 98% of every day that you live? Do you know that every company in the world has your data, like knows stuff about you, has private information about you? What world do you think you're living in that it's groundbreaking news that Mark Zuckerberg announces that he's going to no longer be fact-checking? My point is, obviously, the billionaires aren't going to help with the wildfires or with any of the other storms that are going to happen. They're going to continue doing things that further contribute to them, like fucking AI. You know, it's so funny, like, how many billionaires want to warn you about the dangers of AI and say, like, there could be a machine uprising, but at the same time are like, look at our new AI product with the AI brain that does the AI thing, and it drinks for every sentence that our new AI bot comes up with, it uses 430,000 gallons of water. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that amazing that our little bot only needs 430,000 gulps of water to come up with a bad sentence? Isn't the future so cool? What are we even doing? LA's on fire. James Woods was crying on CNN because his house was burned down. I want you to understand something. I have nothing but sympathy and empathy for the people in my city right now who have lost everything, who have lost their homes, who have lost everything that they've built in their lives, who will most likely not be able to replace it because insurance companies started dropping people's fire insurance a couple weeks ago. And so many people who had fire insurance on their homes lost that right before losing their homes to a fire. Fuck insurance companies. My God, what a hellscape we live in. But I have nothing but empathy and sympathy for these people, except for James Woods. I'm having such a hard time finding sympathy for James Woods. If you do not know, if you are not aware, James Woods is a huge climate change denier and has used his platform and his fame and his celebrity to propagate the idea that climate change is a liberal hoax and not the scientific global consensus of climate scientists around the entire world. He's decided, like many other American morons, that this is somehow some kind of weird power play from the American political left, even though there is global scientific consensus on this, that this is settled fact. He is convinced that it's just a hoax propagated by the American left, just like the global pandemic, just like the thing that was affecting every single country on the earth was somehow a biological attack from the American political left. It was all, you know, the vaccines were all a part of the agenda of the deep state, the hoax of the liberals, of the liberal elite. These people are not well, and they're not smart. And James Woods loudly and proudly has denied climate change. He said things as stupid as like, oh, liberals changed it from global warming to climate change because they knew that they couldn't explain all of the ice storms and blizzards that were happening because, you know, James Woods is not smart. James Woods is not a climate scientist. I'm not a climate scientist. Austin Archer's not a climate scientist. But you know what I know to do? That James Woods doesn't know to do. I know that when someone else has spent their entire life studying something and I haven't, that person knows more about it than I do, and I should just defer to them. That when they tell me that everyone in their field is cross-examining and cross, you know, that they're all double-checking and triple-checking and quadruple-checking the work and the results keep coming back the same, that I can trust them more than I can trust James fucking Woods. That's what I know. But James Woods looks at it and goes, global warming? How could there be snowstorms if they're global warming? And then if you listen to a scientist explain how global warming works for just 5 seconds, if you just listen to them explain like why there are increased ice storms and snowstorms in weird times of the year and how it's kind of a global event of like of climate displacement, that like things are happening that shouldn't be happening in areas of the world where they don't normally happen, at times of the year where they don't normally happen, including ice storms and blizzards. It's not just heat waves, even though it is that too. But if you just listen to actual climate scientists talk about this for just 30 seconds, they explain it pretty well. But people like James Woods, millions of people, tens of millions of people, just heard the words global warming and then were like, well, then how come snow? And it's like, well, you can actually find out how come snow if you bother to look it up, if you bother to look into it, but you're not going to do that. So we have to change it to climate change so that you don't do that, so that your bad brain doesn't do that. And then they go, oh, you changed it to climate change because it's a hoax. And it's like, ah, man, it's just so hard to get around the bad brains of these people. So really tough. I'm having a really tough time finding sympathy for James Woods and likewise any other conservatives that are climate change denialists who are being affected by this tragedy, this absolute tragedy. What else is new? This event is giving us a chance to look into the dark, depraved, black souls of the American conservatives. You know, they have an opportunity to be human right now, to be kind, to be compassionate, to express words of you know, solidarity and support to Californians. But because California is liberal, all the conservatives are online talking about how this is God's wrath coming after evil conservatives and how this is what conservatives get, talking about how Gavin Newsom, this should be the end of his political career because he didn't have California sufficiently prepared to fight these fires, and how this is a political failure of liberals, and, you know, taking advantage to gloat as though this is some kind of political victory for conservatives and not just a massive tragedy for Americans. And yeah, we get to once again see the depraved, unwell souls of American conservatives. That, like, this is not a moment to try to gloat or talk about whose policies are better. This is a moment to express humanity, to be humane, to express compassion, to find ways to help, to find ways to be of service, to find ways that you can be supportive. But because it's a blue state that's in crisis, they can't do that. And you know what? When the tables are flipped, that's not how it works. When there's a hurricane in Florida, blue states and blue voters and liberal people try to figure out how to help, and they express compassion and they express support. And likewise, when there is a hurricane in Florida or somewhere that's a southern red state, conservatives don't say, oh, it's the wrath of God taking out the conservatives. They just say, well, oh boy, thoughts and prayers with our brothers and sisters down there in, you know, South Carolina or wherever it is, you know, because those are their people. So when it happens to them, it's a tragedy, thoughts and prayers, and, oh, you know, Joe Biden wasn't doing enough to help them. But when it happens to us, it's na-na-na-boo-boo, this is what you get for being godless heathens. These people are not good people, and they believe in a gross, bad God. Like hearing conservatives talk about their God, talk about the nature of their God, and brag about the nature of their God, that their God is a wrathful God who does stuff like this to people because they don't worship him sufficiently, because they don't praise him sufficiently. It's so crazy to imagine believing in an entity like that and thinking that that's normal and thinking that that's fine and being like, yeah, that's what you get. And like, that's my guy. My deity is a deity that needs to be worshiped constantly and praised. And if you don't do that, he'll light your house on fire. And that's dope. And I'm like, that's not cool, guys. That's not a cool thing to worship. That's bad. I've been seeing a lot of conservatives calling for, saying things like, I saw this conservative Trump supporter that I know on Facebook post, this has to be the end of Gavin Newsom's political career, right? Like, this has to do it. Finally, at long last, this has to end his political career. And I was like, look, there's a conversation that can be had about where California as a state decided to allocate funds. I think that it's a problem that California decided to remove millions of dollars from their firefighters. You know, a state that has a problem with wildfires decided to defund their fire department to the tune of tens of millions of dollars so that they could increase the LAPD budget by tens of millions of dollars. In a city where crime is going down and where wildfires happen always. There's a conversation that could be had, a legitimate conversation about a failure of governance, a failure of policy, a failure of, preparation on and leadership. I think that conversation absolutely could be had, but it is so crazy to see Trump supporters say something like, this has to be the last straw for Gavin Newsom, when their guy is Donald Trump. Like, I just, when Republicans sort of, as a rule, have no bottom that their leadership can sink to before they will say, all right, that's got to be the end of Marjorie Taylor Greene's career, surely, right? That's got to be the end of Matt Gaetz's career, right? Like, that has to, like, put a pin in Matt Gaetz's political career, right? Like, that's got to be it, right? Like, he's done in politics. And like there is no bottom. There is no, like, low enough point for conservatives to say, you know what? I think that's probably got it. That's probably got to be curtains on Trump, right? And Trump is the gold standard when it comes to proving that there is no bottom for how depraved Republicans will accept their leaders being. Like, this is the Law and Order Party enthusiastically voting for a 34-time convicted felon who has been held liable for sexual assault in court, who has removed classified documents from the White House, who has endangered national security multiple times, who led a coup against the government, who tried to overthrow democracy the last time that he lost an election. And there is no, for those people to see Gavin Newsom dealing with this situation in California and say, that's gotta be it, right? Like, come on, that's gotta be it for his career. For those same people to be like, but Trump's my guy, a guy who it's just like, there is nothing this man could ever do that would ever make you think maybe it's time for him to not be in public office anymore. And so I don't know. Yeah, I just we're getting a really good look at and a good reminder that conservatives are not well, and that we're not the same, and that we're not the same psychologically. We don't have the same values. We don't approach situations in the same way. Speaking of Trump, I've sort of made an agreement with myself. I think you can call it a resolution as we're going into this new year. That like, I know that he's issued some statements about what's gone on in LA. I haven't looked at a single thing that he said. I just, you know, this situation is stressful enough. It's bad enough. It's sad enough. I've sort of made a decision that I'm not going to look at anything Trump says or does unless it's positive. Unless it's like, oh, did you hear? He actually did something useful. He actually said something that was like kind of humane, that actually had like hints of compassion to it. Unless the message has changed, unless the actions have changed into something that is useful, I'm not interested in it. Because what is it? When people are like, did you hear what he said? It's like, oh, is it the worst thing? Is it the worst thing imaginable? Is it the worst thing that a president elect could possibly say? Cool. Obviously, that's what it is. Of course, that's what it is. It's Donald Trump. So I don't need to look at that. There's no reason. What's the point? What's the point of engaging with that? We're now 9 years deep into the Trump era of American politics. There is nothing more to be gained by going over once again that Donald Trump is one of the worst people to ever hold the office of President of the United States, that he has a black, deformed heart that does not work properly, that he is a malignant narcissist, egomaniac, who cares about no one but himself, who is incapable of compassion and empathy. There is nothing to be gained by retreading that, by looking at the latest thing that he said and going, oh my God, can you believe it? Of course I can believe it. Of course we can all believe that whatever he said and whatever he's going to do is going to suck. There's no point in engaging with it unless he does or says anything to prove us wrong. And at that point, if they said, did you hear what Donald Trump did? He personally got Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg to personally donate billions of dollars to the victims of the wildfires in California so that they can rebuild their homes. And he got them to personally donate to a fund for those people, and those people are going to be taken care of and paid for. Did you hear that he did that? And then I'd go, holy shit, what an amazing humanitarian. Wow. Wow, as awful as of a person as he is, now that's news. That's actually something to care about. That's actually something to talk about. But if the news is, did you hear what Donald Trump said on Twitter? And the answer is it the worst thing imaginable? Like the worst possible thing a person in his position could say? And the answer, of course, is yes, always. But like, if that's the answer, then like, who the fuck cares? Did you hear that Donald Trump is still awful? Yup. Moving on. So I'm not aware currently of what he said. All I know is that he has said things and that they are bad. And of course they are. Let's get back into this Meta story, this fact-checking story. First of all, yeah, the fear that American conservatives have when it comes to fact-checking is so telling and funny. It's sort of like the way that they like how they have this allergy to words like woke or DEI, You know, things that like on their face, it's like, what does woke mean? It means that you are awake to the injustices of the world. You are awake to systemic prejudice and oppression and injustice, to institutional prejudice. Like you're awake and you notice those things. That is on its face a good thing to be. And they've just decided that like this really clearly good thing is bad. DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusivity. Just making a bad word out of that is so like, it's such a confession of who you really are as a person to be like, diversity, equity, and inclusivity are bad words to me. And likewise, feeling like fact-checking is something that needs to be stopped at all costs is one of the most like embarrassing confessions you could possibly make about yourself and about the ideology that you subscribe to. That you're just like, every time things that I say and people that I like say get fact-checked, that's not fair to me. But it's like, hey, have you ever considered trying to just tell the truth? Have you ever considered just saying things that don't require correction? Have you ever considered what would happen if you just didn't fucking lie all the time? If your entire worldview and ideology wasn't just a lie? So yeah, Meta's not fact-checking anymore. According to Mark Zuckerberg, the California fact-checkers that Meta apparently had employed had too much of a bias, so he's moving the fact-checking department or the community notes department, the moderation department, to Texas, because Texas is famously a much less biased place than California. As everyone knows, Texas, the place where bias and prejudice were invented, is just a beacon of tolerance and acceptance. Like, how crazy is that? Like, fucking Texas. Like you couldn't make it more on the nose than to be like, we got to go to Texas so that we can get some really objective, you know, even keeled, unbiased moderation here. I did write this thing on Threads that I wanted to talk about, and then we'll talk to the TikTok studio audience a little bit here. I wrote this on Threads. I wrote, facts aren't biased. The truth doesn't have an agenda. Billionaires are sociopathic resource hoarders. Climate change is real, whether James Woods believes it or not. It just ate his fucking house. This is only going to continue to happen with greater frequency and intensity. Climate change is the direct result of the actions of human beings. This is the world capitalism has built. Just kind of listing some general, factual, true observations about the world that we live in and pointing out that, like, there's no agenda behind this. The truth of these statements are not motivated by some political agenda. They're just things that are observably, empirically true, that are backed by empirical, peer-reviewed data and science. I had someone jump into my comments here, and I just want to talk about this a little bit, because sometimes people on the internet, I feel like, are trying to win the semantics Olympics. Like, they don't necessarily disagree with what you're saying. They're just like, if I can find a semantic problem in your post, then I will fight to the death to defend that I caught a semantic flaw in what you said. So this guy responded to me and he said, when you say facts aren't biased, and in the same post you say billionaires are sociopathic resource hoarders, you lost all your credibility. You are being completely biased. Your line about billionaires is an opinion, but you state it as a fact. So I guess you just throw away opinions and you say they are facts. This guy went on to say that the reason why my statement about billionaires is an opinion and not a fact is because I made a value judgment about billionaires when I called them sociopaths. That because I was making a value judgment, it was an opinion and not a fact. Because I responded and I said, no, it's not an opinion that billionaires are resource hoarders. That is that's what being a billionaire literally is. You cannot be a billionaire unless you are resource hoarding at an astonishing rate. Like, the only way to become a billionaire is to do a insane level of immoral and unethical resource hoarding. That is just factually what that is. That's not an opinion. In his first comment, he wrote, "Your line about billionaires is an opinion, but you stated as fact." It's not an opinion. It is a fact. But he just needs to double down, needs to dig his heels in. So he's like, no, you made a value judgment. You called them sociopaths. You don't know that all billionaires are sociopaths. Because you made that value judgment, that's an opinion, not a fact. Lots of people in the comments were like, bro, why are you simping so hard for the billionaires? Like, you don't need to do this. The billionaires don't know who you are. They don't care about you. You don't need to simp for them. And he was like, no, I'm not simping for the billionaires. I'm not defending billionaires. I'm just pointing out that Austin tried to list a bunch of empirical facts, but he threw in an opinion there with a value judgment in it. First of all, I don't buy for one second that this guy is not trying to defend billionaires. Because if that's not what you're trying to do, then what the fuck are we doing? Then what argument are you trying to make? I feel like this is a thing that conservatives, like, I see this all the time, where conservatives will, they're so afraid to be honest about who they really are and what they really believe. Again, this allergy to, like, fact-checking, this, like, aversion to objectively good ideas like social inclusivity and, increased diversity in workspaces and, like, in leadership roles. They're so afraid to admit that that's who they are that they will even just, like, they'll be in the comment sections of posts on the internet clearly espousing conservative ideas. And then when you say, why are you doing that? Why are you, like, defending billionaires? They'll be like, no, I'm not. I'm not even conservative. Like, I saw a guy today on a post, someone was talking about how awful Donald Trump is, which we just talked about at length. And this person on the comment was, like, viciously defending Donald Trump and just being like, why do you do this? Why are you always mudslinging? Why are you always left versus right and being so divisive? Why does all your rhetoric have to be so divisive? Look, I'm not even a Trump supporter. And they went with that line of, like, I'm not even a Republican. I'm not even a Trump supporter. And it's like, but you so obviously are. And why are you afraid to admit that? And shouldn't it tell you something about your ideology that you're afraid to own it honestly? Because you, if that's not what you're doing, then what are you doing? If you're not here to defend Donald Trump and to defend your decision to be a supporter of Donald Trump, then what are you even doing here? If you agree with me that Donald Trump is bad, then why are you in the comments pissed off that I said Donald Trump is bad? Similarly with this guy. He claims to not be simping for billionaires. He claims to just be hung up on this semantic problem in my post. And it is a semantic problem. And look, we can give this guy the benefit of the doubt and say, sure, there's no way for me to empirically, objectively prove that all billionaires are sociopathic or bad or narcissistic or egomaniacal. There's no way to definitively prove that at all, because if we want to go deep enough down the hole philosophically, there's no way to prove that any of those things actually exist at all. They're just names that we've given to collections of symptoms. There's no way, if we want to go even deeper, there's no way to empirically prove that good and bad actually objectively exist. These are just social constructs, like so many other things, so many other aspects of society and living in a civilization. The idea of something being good or bad is typically, I mean, we get morality from several places. We get kind of abstract, weird, arbitrary morality from religion, where we get weird rules about, like, not eating shellfish and, like, what days of the week you can have a beard and, like, you know, which months it's okay to wear a hat in and weird shit like that that doesn't make any sense. But then we get much more common sense rules around morality and ethics from just, like, pro-social and antisocial behavior. Is this behavior good for the collective of humanity, or does it hurt humanity? Does it cause more pain than joy? Like, does this behavior create more suffering than it does help or joy or prosperity? And you know, just like, is this a pro-social behavior? Is this good for society? Or is this an anti-social behavior? But these are still social constructs. These are just sort of socially agreed upon concepts. So you can't, if you really want to get into the fucking weeds about it, we can't actually really define or definitively prove what good and bad actually are, or if they even actually exist. The same with kind of like diagnoses like narcissistic personality disorder or sociopathy. It's like, what are we actually doing here when you're getting that hair splitting and that pedantic? Because I could say something like, slave owners believe that it's okay to own people as property, and that makes them really bad people. And this guy would say, well, that's just your opinion. And it's like, well, no, slave owners definitely do hold the belief that it's okay to own people as property. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it. That is definitely a belief that they hold. And I think that there's, I think I can make a better argument that it is bad, that that is a bad belief, that is a bad behavior, than you could make an argument that it is a pro-social and a good behavior. And that's the thing, is like, if this person isn't here to simp for billionaires, to defend billionaires, then what are they doing? Because the only other thing you can do at this point is like, cool, I can make my argument as to why hoarding the amount of wealth and resources you need to hoard to become a billionaire is sociopathic and maniacal and evil. And I think I can make a pretty strong, pretty decisive, conclusive argument, but like, the only way you can really like he says, I lost all credibility. Well, then make the argument that they're not. Prove to me that they're like, make the argument that they are not. Let's have that, you know, because these are socially agreed upon concepts. These are social constructs. So you have to make that opposite argument. I don't know. I just, people are wild out here. We're really off to a crazy start this year. I'm getting out of town tomorrow. Luckily, and I'll get away from these fires. Let's get over to the TikTok studio audience and check in with everybody over here. What are we thinking over here, gang? What's going on? How's the conversation going? How's everybody doing? How is everybody faring? Greganator 343D says, hi, Austin. Loved you in Horizon and hope you're doing okay right now. Lots more people have been watching Horizon because it's on Netflix now. I can't wait for movie 2 to come out. That's the movie I'm in. So Angela Huffman says, eat the rich. Yeah. Amen. I just don't, that's the crazy thing. When I say that like greed and capitalism are mental illnesses, that these are like viruses, that's the thing, is it's just like these people, these wealth hoarders, these unwell people, the Zuckerbergs, the Bezoses, the Musks of the world, they have no capability of like forward thought. They have no capability of like playing the tape out. And to a lesser extent, like healthcare CEOs, insurance CEOs, like what do the CEOs of the insurance companies who dropped people's fire policies expect is going to happen? Like, how long do they expect to be able to get away with that kind of behavior? And it's just sort of this thing where it's like, okay, if the money has eroded all of your humanity and all of your capacity for compassion and empathy, do you still at least have enough, you know, conniving and maniacal logic left in your moldy brain to foresee a future where people could revolt back against you for your crimes, like for the bad things that you're doing? Like, how do they not see that this could so easily come back on them and come down on them so poorly, that this could like work out really, really badly for them? Trindolin says, self-preservation, at least, you know, that like, it's like, yeah, do you not, at the very least, if you don't have empathy, if you don't have humanity, do you at least have an instinct for self-preservation? Like, this is the planet you live on. I know that a lot of them want to escape to space and build space stations and live on Mars or whatever, but it's like, get fucking real. If you are here now with us, and how long do you think you can keep tightening the vise? How long do you think you can keep siphoning off more and more and more of the money and keep forcing us into more and more difficult situations before it breaks? Like, I just, it's so weird to not be, like, to be that powerful and that ostensibly intelligent and have no ability to have even the slightest bit of forethought about what you're doing. Yeah, Sparkalini says, like, do you care about your own descendants or not? It's so weird because it's like, what do you care about? Do you care? It's like you can't possibly care about legacy, because if you cared about legacy, then you would just be the person who saves humanity with your wealth. You would just use all of the wealth that you've hoarded to just like fix all of these issues, and we would like erect statues to you for eons. You would like fix the climate crisis. You would fix the housing crisis. You would fix world hunger. You would fix the healthcare crisis. Like, you would just be a hero. But they clearly don't care about legacy. And if they don't care about legacy, then that stands to reason that they don't really care about progeny. Because like, but that they all claim to care about progeny. Like, all these billionaires are like having all these babies, but it almost just seems like Elon Musk seems to just use his children now as human shields. It's like they're just like, well, if I have kids, then people can't assassinate me because I'm a father. And it doesn't seem like they actually care about the world that they're building for the kids that they're having. So it almost just seems like the only thing these people care about is like, in their short window of time that they are afforded on this earth, they're going to make sure that they are as well taken care of as is humanly possible, and that nothing could ever happen that could make them not have the most money possible. And it's such a like pathetic life's ambition and life's goal. It's such a bafflingly stupid thing to want from your life. Not, you know, like, wanting money is not bad. Wanting money in capitalism is not bad. I want money. I want enough money to be able to take care of myself if I get sick. I want enough money to be able to live in a better place than I live in. I want enough money to be able to, like, take care of the people that I care about. But, like, wanting thousands of times more than the amount that you need to be able to do all of those things is insane. And there's just no rationale behind it. Because if it's not for legacy, if it's not for progeny, if it's just for you to use for like a few short decades and then die, then you're a moron. Sparkalini just said, when you even look at the first real tycoons, they ended up donating a lot back to their communities. Well, yeah. And they also lived in a time with a much, much, much higher tax rate for their tax bracket. Like, they lived in a time where people who were making the most amount of money above a certain amount were being taxed at like 90% above a certain amount. Obviously, I didn't talk about this in my greed episode of the podcast, but like, taxes exist on a graduated scale, right? So like, you know, everyone below $100,000 is taxed the same rate. And then like, it graduates up. It's like everything you make after a certain amount gets taxed at a different rate. And then above that amount at a different rate. It's going in the exact opposite direction that it should go in under conservative economics. They want it to get smaller and smaller as it graduates up. It should go the exact opposite. It should get bigger and bigger, where it's like anything above $10 million that you make in a year is taxed at minimum 50%. And then anything above $50 million is like minimum taxed 75%. And anything above $100 million should be taxed 90%, no question, because like, you won, you're done. You have way too much money. You made way too much money in a single year. And we do it the exact opposite. But those early tycoons actually lived in a society where they had to give away most of their wealth. Like, that's just what was mandated by the government. And it resulted in the most prosperous era in this country's history. It's so weird to be able to have that data available, to just be able to see like, this works. More socialized, more left-leaning, more progressive economic policies work. To be able to have the data that 10 of the 11 last biggest recessions in the American economy happened under conservative leadership with conservative economic policies in place. Like, to be able to have that clear empirical data and still be like, I don't know, like, to just have 75 million people be like, I gotta vote for eggs to get cheaper. And we're like, he's not gonna make eggs cheaper. He's Donald Trump. He's just saying stuff to get elected. He lies about everything. And they're like, I don't know, I think he's gonna make eggs cheaper. And then they elect him, and immediately he's like, listen, guys, I actually can't make eggs cheaper, but like, hear me out. What if we just like invaded a bunch of countries and renamed the Gulf of Mexico? What if that? And these people are so stupid that they're like, actually, that's dope. Actually, like, fuck yeah. And like, and then eggs will be cheaper. And he's like, no, no, for sure not. But like, we will be, you know, fighting with Greenland, and we will be like, you know, maybe in a war with Canada. And I don't know what that's going to look like, but like, that's kind of fun, right? Like, it's so crazy. Luke Holter Comedy just said, I'm not Republican, but this is a wacky take. I hope this is a joke comment and not someone doing the exact thing that I was talking about Republicans doing in comment sections earlier in the episode. But like, we live in a post-satire world, and I can never tell when someone is joking or not anymore, because this is just something a Republican would do. They would, like, with no self-awareness, they would show up at a live stream where I've already talked about how Republicans say things like, I'm not a Republican, but here's my Republican rebuttal or Republican take, because they're like weirdly afraid to admit that they're Republican publicly. They always have private profiles. They're always like very secretive. And they're always like, no, I don't actually support Trump, but here are a bunch of opinions that a person who supports Trump would have. And this is something that they would do. They would show up at a live stream and say that. And I don't know if this person is joking or being serious, but that's the world we live in, because you can't satirize conservatives because the things they actually say and do are always crazier than whatever joke you're trying to tell. Yeah, it's so wild how quickly the Trump cult just, because somebody just commented, fuck eggs, but Gulf of America? Ooh, yeah. Like, it's so wild how quickly the Trump cult just shifted gears to being like, yeah, I like the idea of Gulf of America. And it's like, what are you talking about? Not a single goddamn one of you was saying, I'm voting for Donald Trump because I hope that he renames the Gulf of Mexico Gulf of America. Like, he wasn't campaigning on that. You weren't, like, excited about that. And I think what really comes to the forefront is what we already knew. The people who voted for him are not very smart. They're very angry. They're very prone to fear and being kind of duped by con men. And they're also very racist and very misogynistic. And like, that's all it really comes down to. So they didn't actually think he was going to be able to fix the price of eggs. They were just like, I just feel more comfortable voting for the old white rapist and felon than I do voting for a black lady. And it's really not much more complicated than that. Listen, I'm obviously just ranting and raving, but I'm feeling a little lightheaded. I think I need to go eat some dinner, and I gotta go check on the fire progress and make sure my neighborhood's still safe. But yeah, if you know people who are out in LA, look into resources of how you can help people right now who have been displaced from their homes, who have lost their homes. I'm going to be linking in the description of this video resources that you can look into if you want to be of service, if you want to help. If you're a conservative who happened to watch this entire video and you took issue with me talking about how depraved and dark and black your souls and your hearts are, prove me wrong, please. I would love for you to go to the links in my description and donate to places if you can donate, and find ways to be of service, to help out, to be a human being right now, and to set your politics aside and understand that normal people, everyday Americans like you, working people, lost a lot this week, lost everything in many cases, and they need our help because the powers that be are not going to do it. The insurance companies aren't going to do it. The government's most likely not going to do it. So as usual, it's going to have to be us showing up for each other. So I hope that we can do that right now. People Pleaser is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. You can find more of my music by going to austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com. Support some indie music over there. Patreon.com/Austin Archer. Bonus content all the time over there. Now there's always, you know, longer versions of my videos over there. If you're just needing more of this kind of thing in your life, shout out to all the Patreon patrons. Thank you for supporting this work. Thank you for helping me to continue doing this. Thank you to the live studio audience over here on TikTok. Really, really appreciate you guys. Please follow me other places other than TikTok. TikTok's getting banned, and I really don't want to lose everybody that I've been talking to for the last 5 years on TikTok. Please follow me on YouTube. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on Threads. Let's keep this party rolling. Until then, we'll see you next time. I don't know when that will be, but watch the Wonner podcast. If you haven't already subscribed to the Wonner podcast, that's my new podcast that I do with my friend Kramer England. I'll be linking that in the description. Check out the Wonner with Austin and Kramer on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. We're talking about movies. Check us out. And be safe out there. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Love you so much. Bye-bye.